Layla,
Yeah?
Nando's is closed as well.
Maybe you've seen the videos of little kids like this girl in England having a meltdown because the pandemic has closed down all their favorite restaurants.
You've literally got to eat mummy's cooking now. I'm so sorry.
Aw, my personal favorite is an American girl in despair because she can't go to McDonald's or places where they have toys and candy. The videos are funny, but it's heartbreaking to see little ones in this deep despair that may also reflect fear about parents' jobs, a pandemic, protests. While educators worry about kids' physical health when schools open, our next guest asks, what about their mental health? Dr. Miriam Jernigan-Nowessi is a psychologist, a teacher at Agnes Scott College in Decatur, Georgia. Dr. Jernigan-Nowessi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What can parents do with this kind of despair now?
It's really about being patient, listening to them, encouraging them to express themselves. In the moment, a child may want to start crying. But in addition to that, I think maybe offering arts and crafts, or especially for younger children, they tend to communicate through their play. So you might read them books or encourage them to play and to really talk about how it is that they're feeling. That would be something that's really important in terms of monitoring and then also responding to your child's mental health.
Well, and that's what I loved about the video. The parents just let her go on. No candy or toys. I mean, it was really quite something, but they let her do it. But now, you know, everybody's saying that it'll be better for the mental health of children if they can get back to what's seen as normal schools.
In the midst of a pandemic, the other thing to remember is that children may be returning to school with some uncertainty about whether or not they will have to leave school again. So while schools have often served as a source of support and stability, we're in the middle of a time where we can't guarantee, right, that students who may be returning to in-person learning won't have to then return home for a period of time if there is, in fact, you know, a second wave. They are, you know, coming back to school feeling very unstable. This place that was once, you know, a place of stability, they've been detached from that, which has affected their own attachment to both their educators and the school environment. And so it's not, I think, guaranteed that students will then, you know, sort of rush back into the school. It will be normal for them, and that will then solve all of the issues or mental health concerns that certainly I'm thinking about as a licensed psychologist. There will also be adults in the building who may also, you know, experience some anxiety. They may have, you know, children of their own. So the stability that once was, I think it's important as we think about the pandemic as being unprecedented, that applies.
What do you have some specifics? I mean, in Massachusetts, there are schools that have programs just for kids who have been through trauma. So when they come back, they have mental health help.
Absolutely. I think we can learn a lot from the trauma-informed lens. The trauma-informed school really looks at how do we create and cultivate an environment. One of the tools, for example, that trauma-informed providers use is calming. Trauma can lead to experiences of disorganization, something we refer to, you know, as our executive functioning in our brains, which allows us to focus and to organize things that that children need for learning. It's about creating or facilitating, right, a way for children to be able to calm themselves. So mindfulness, for example, which is deep breathing. What would it mean to just begin the school day, to take a deep breath, to teach children how to really notice what they are feeling in their bodies, to really enhance their emotional intelligence? I've been really concerned about commentary that says, you know, children have missed so much, we've got to get back to the business of learning. The tools children need to learn may be disrupted at this time.
Well, it's interesting. Some studies have come out. I think one from MIT, concluding that, in fact, when kids go back to school, the schools should lean on the arts, music and art. Not prepare them for tests. But you said something else which is interesting. It just really struck me. Oh, you know, a breathing exercise. Maybe everybody sits around in a circle and breathes deeply. And I find that's so interesting considering kids have been hearing, you know, both people are sick and they can't breathe. And a man said, I can't breathe. And, you know, this is what they're carrying with them.
Right. So how do teachers, for example, talk to younger children? I, Robin, have a four-year-old myself. My life partner, before nap time in an effort to get him to calm down, doesn't say we're going to do deep breathing exercises, for example. What he says is, you know, let's calm ourselves. Let's pretend that there's a birdie on your belly. If you can lie down, you know, on your blankie on the floor and really breathe in and let that birdie rise, right? And then let the birdie come back down.
Quick question. Should they ask little kids in a circle, what has it been like for you? Or might that be too painful for some kids if, in fact, they know that their dad lost or mom lost a job or they lost a relative to COVID, you know, or they're afraid. Maybe they were afraid to go back to school, afraid they're going to catch the I mean, they've been told sure. they can't go out.
I think children are honest, right? We sort of point to the videos that you referenced earlier. I would want to gauge. I would not expect all of my students to be able to contribute, but I certainly wouldn't want to deny them an opportunity to really speak about things that maybe they've noticed and haven't had anyone else to talk about. And if I'm noticing that there's a child that is, you know, seems more distressed, I might reach out to school counselor and I might ask my student if they'd like maybe a time to check in with me.
Dr. Miriam Jernigan-Nowessi, psychology professor at Agnes Scott College in Decatur, Georgia. Doctor, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Robin.